and amen. Willie, thank you so much. Let's pray. Oh, gracious God, thank you for this moment, this time, this place, these people. It's going to happen now or never. Your call on our lives, your call of comfort, your call of movement. Speak to us now for your people here and listen. Amen. You know, the first words of this passage in Isaiah chapter 40 kind of riveted my attention in a way that was really powerful for me this week. I think it was on Monday. Comfort. Oh, comfort my people, says your God. That word comfort. You know, it's kind of hard to describe my reaction. It was a deep gut internal response of, yes, I need to hear that. These words are exactly what I needed to hear, what I longed to hear, what I yearned for. Comfort. Like comfort food. Meatloaf. Macaroni and cheese. Hallelujah. Like that spot on the couch warmed by my Indian snuggly. Fire in the fireplace, snow falling outside. Handel's Messiah playing or listening to Willie sing. Cup of tea. It is so soothing to receive that word and to have comfort press upon my soul. I guess I really didn't realize, you see, the depth of my discomfort. I read this passage, I dwelt in this passage, I claimed this word in this passage, and I felt myself just begin to breathe more deeply. Now, the people to whom Isaiah was speaking and writing are a people in exile in Babylon. Remember, 586 BCE, the Temple of Solomon has been destroyed. And the children of the promise, the chosen people, the same chosen people that we have been studying in the book of Exodus, have been driven out of Jerusalem, except for the poorest. They've been led away from Jerusalem. But now, comfort, comfort ye my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. You know, after so much harsh language, so much judgmental language, so much critical language, all of a sudden we get this tender word, this comforting word. And did you notice, I hope as you were noticing, even the way that the passage is laid out on the page, it's kind of this kind of embrace, these arms, beginning with the words of comfort and ending with this image of our mighty God. But the image of our mighty God is not of a warrior, is it? It's not of a returning hero with muscles bulging and all this sort of crazy masculine imagery. It's of a shepherd feeding and leading the flock. It is of a mother gathering lambs and carrying them on the divine bosom. Whoa. Leading the mother sheep. That's a great image. Now, when you are down, feeling pressed upon, feeling judged, feeling obligated, feeling as if you're really not worthy, just pressed, is there a better image than you can imagine? Than a God who embraces you. A God who really wants you to crawl into his lap, her lap, and a God who presses you against her bosom, pulling you close, whispers in your ear, you know, it's really going to be all right. It's really going to be all right. Come to me, all ye who are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. The very arms of God pulling her children close, pulling you close. Oh, I need this because there's so much discomfort in my heart these days, in our heart these days, individually and collectively. Come on, let's be real. The shooting death of that young boy just a mile up the road by that Sunoco station on Lee and Superior. Why does a teen have a gun? The death of that football player from Aurora, who died in a traffic accident on the day before Thanksgiving. And I remember reading the paper and seeing that picture of that scene in the locker room before their playoff game. And there's the coach trying to interpret this horror and comfort his players. The news that my house may not be worth what I paid for it 18 years ago, that is discomforting. Fills me with this ease. Jerry Sandusky and the sexual abuse at Penn State, and now that other coach at Syracuse. Come on. That is so discomforting to me. And we have our history. It's very discomforting. The beginning of this political season, or this middle of this boring political season. Really, in this run-up to this presidential election less than a year away, I used to get so excited, truly, about the issues and about this sort of, you know, both this intellectual and this emotional engagement with the future of our country, and that's just a mess. Few care about the facts. It's so harsh and nasty. Everybody just wants to dance to the tune of the fringe, prove their purity. It's discomforting to me. Talking about money, stewardship. Feel comfortable about that? So many voices, so many needs, so much pain, so much death, so much sickness. Sometimes you just need to be hugged. Don't need too many words. Just a presence. Just a touch. I remember that scene described in the book by Parker Palmer, who described when he was going through the depths of his depression, there was a friend who just came and sat with him and massaged his feet and didn't say a word. Sometimes we just need to be told. We need to accept comfort. Comfort ye my people. Every little thing gonna be all right. So for those of you who, like me, need an embrace today, because things are just too much right now, I give you a comforting word from God, a tender word, a loving embrace, if you would just allow yourself a moment when nobody's looking, quiet moment. You know, picture yourself being taken up to God's bosom and just resting there. I think for many, particularly adults, that's a really discomforting thought. It's so intimate. Man, God wants to do that to me? That's too bad. Because you and I all know the facts. Children who have never been hugged grow up twisted. Children who have never been comforted get hard. Children who have never been spoken to with tenderness don't really develop too well. Children who are always criticized don't build good relationships. So I'm going to receive this word of heavenly comfort and allow myself to be embraced by my shepherd God who comforts the afflicted. But, you know, right in the middle of that embrace of the first few verses and the last verses, we're being embraced by this wonderful sense of God. This embrace between comfort and tenderness and being carried on the bosom of God, we get a list of things that we're to do and to be and to be about. Right in the middle of this most beautiful of passages come the words that frankly are thrilling to me. Out of this position of comfort, I get kind of picked up and thrilled by this. A voice cries out, "In the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill will be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together." Here I am, I'm comforted now. I just laid out this proclamation of comfort. You have just been spoken tenderly to. So we can be about the business of, guess what? Comforting others. Of leveling the playing field. Creating access for every beloved child of God who yearns to be safe, who yearns to make a living, who yearns to be educated, who yearns for a job. We're supposed to be comforting folk and leveling the playing field, you see, for all who are struggling with the disease, the discomfort of economic blight, who have to wake up every single day in the discomfort of poverty and dead ends and mountains far too high to climb. You know, all sorts of inspirational speakers are always telling kids, anything you want to become, you can become if you work hard enough. Now, I'm all for individual responsibility. Do not misinterpret me. Hard work is necessary. And there are stories of remarkable triumphs out of the depths of despair and depravity. But generally speaking, I think these inspirational encouragement speeches are patently false. Because the decks are stacked against so many, the valleys are far too deep, the mountains are far too high, the ghettos are far too rough, the playing field is so unevenly tipped towards those who have money, influence, connections, the right gender, the right orientation, the right race. You know that's true. And the magnificent exceptions only prove the rule. And Isaiah's voice, the prophet's voice, comes resounding through the ages. You, includes me, I'm not pointing your, I mean all of us, you, the so-called beloved community, prepare the way of the Lord. And it is with profound importance that we understand the syntax of these verses. I'm just reading the text. For only after, you see, the highway is made straight and the valleys are lifted up and the mountains are brought low and the uneven ground is leveled and the rough places are made plain, only after the way is prepared according to this text will the glory of the Lord be revealed and the people will see. I'm reminded of the words of a wise rabbi who once said, "The Messiah will only come when he is no longer needed." Ooh. Ooh, the heavenly music. Now, you know, that means I'm right. I mean, when we have joined God, you see, in the building of this beloved community, the presence of the Lord will be self-evident to everybody. That's what this scripture passage says. Isaiah's words are not proclaimed to make us wait passively for God to do something, although that's my typical default mode, I'll be honest. I think that what Isaiah was thinking when he pondered, "We are grass, we wither, fade, is it even worth sharing the news to this crazy generation? this fickle people. Oh, and Isaiah's in this discomfort and disease. But I think part of the discomfort and disease is that we just sit around dwelling in our disease and discomfort. You know? And what Isaiah's calling us to is active participation in God's word. Active participation in God's call to change lives, to change culture, to make all things new. It's in our power. That's what the scripture says. Isaiah proclaims, lift it up, don't fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. Well, I don't live in Judah. I live in Ohio. So I guess we have to proclaim this to the cities of Ohio and to the nation. The cities where many people languish, and both rich folk and poor folk feel the blight and the discomfort and the dis-ease. We got to get active. We got to start leveling the playing field. Yes, share the abundance. Yes, go in and occupy the rough places with words and acts of hope, of equity and fairness and justice. We don't back away from that word, justice. So we have two calls here. I'm going to end with this. We have two calls, comfort and preparing the way. And I would declare that this is our mission for the future. How are we comforting one another? Surely doing what we already do so well. Visiting, sending a meal, sending a card, making a phone call, of embracing. We're really good huggers. Of reaching out to the homeless and the hungry. Greeting everybody with hospitality and welcome. And we are preparing the way through education and spiritual formation, through hands-on social engagement, in like stumbling our way, but just being driven that we want to be, you see, this beloved, inclusive, and diverse community. By taking care of our building, by supporting our staff, it's all connected. But giving of our time, talent, and treasures. And then sometimes, I got to admit, sometimes in the midst of my discomfort, I come up here into this pulpit and I see you. And I think about the work God has called us to, and I find that strangely comforting. I don't know who else I'd rather be with. Because I want to go climb that high mountain. Go tell it on the mountain that the time has come for comfort and transformation, for preparation, for tenderness, tidings of comfort and joy. My friend, it is going to be all right. It really is. Because the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Amen. Amen. All right. Love that baby. Love that baby.